So as Phil said, we've been spending a lot of time in the book of 1 John. We are out of 1 John this week. We're into the book of Acts. But we're going to start a new series. So if you're visiting, this is a great week to come because you kind of not missed anything. We're starting a new series. And what we do as a church is we kind of believe what this book says. So we're just going to spend a few moments just gathering around some of the words out of this book and applying it to our lives. We believe that this book isn't just a load of words, but it's actually divinely inspired. It was written by God. And many authors over hundreds of years. And we believe that every word can apply to our life. It can actually help us and train us and teach us and correct us. So we're just going to spend a few moments in this book. But we're starting a new series over this month, just building up to our morning of worship when we've got Raoul with us as kind of the climax of this series. Raoul de la Vieira, we're going to go for. We're going to explore the big theme, the big idea of what is worship. What is worship? It's a question that may mean absolutely nothing to you. You see it this morning and you're like, well, I'm not religious, I don't go to church, so I don't really worship. But for those that are in church, we just need to be careful with the number of adults out there, if possible. So, Carl, can you just go and check that, is that all right? Just because of, we just need to make sure that the number of adults that are DBS checked is greater than that those that aren't. That'd be great. So you may not understand the idea of worship, but the English word worship comes from a Saxon word that is pronounced werwurthsupai. Werwurthsupai is this Saxon word, and whether you are religious or not, whether you have ever been to church or not before, can I tell you something this morning? You're a worshipper. Whether you go to church since Noah was a boy, or whether you've never set foot in one of these places before, you are a worshipper. Put it this way, you decide to go and start supporting that local rugby team that's moved into the area. Wasps have just moved into the area, okay? For those that don't know rugby, Wasps were another team, they're now moving to Warwickshire. So they play at Coventry football grounds. So you decide, you know what, I'm going to go and support my local rugby team. And so you start going regularly, each week you're there, and you're thinking, I'm enjoying this, I'm going to come more regularly. And then you start thinking, do you know what, I'm going to get a season ticket. I get a season ticket and then I can go every week. And you really enjoy what you go to, so you start inviting your friends along as well. And then you can start singing some of the songs that they sing in the rugby matches, and some of the chants. Do you see? Everyone in this room is a worshipper. The question is not whether you worship or not. The question is, what do you worship? So as we explore this big idea of what is worship, ask yourself a question. What do I worship? See, as our 21st century mind, we don't like to be told you are a worshipper. Well, I'm going to be whatever I want to be. Don't tell me what I'm going to be. Well, there is a choice. So this morning we're going to explore some of the choices that you have in worship. See, we've dedicated Charlie this morning. We know that he will grow up to be a worshipper. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. Charlie will grow up to be a worshipper. The question is, what is he going to worship? So guys, we're just going to read a few passages from the Bible. We're going to be in the New Testament, and it's the book of Acts. So if you're not familiar with the Bible, then we're in the New Testament, so that's the second half of the book. And there's some Bibles over there if you want to grab it. Don't worry, we've got a big screen here where all the stuff's going to come up on. But we're just going to be in Acts 16, and we're going to read from verses 25 to 34. Okay? And it says this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your whole household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all over him in his house. And he took And he took them that same hour of night and washed their wounds. What a beautiful picture. This jailer who has probably inflicted the wounds on Paul and Silas is now washing those very wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family, just like Louise was a few weeks ago with a couple of others in church as well. Then he brought them to his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Guys, let's just pray for a few moments, shall we, before we start. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that your word is not just print on a page, but it's you speaking to us. And so Lord, we ask right now, that wherever we are on our journey of worship, whatever it is we choose to worship right now, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit speak to us. Speak to us with real power, that we know that it is you speaking to us and nothing else. And Lord, we just thank you that I am now Welsh. Because the Welsh are doing so well in the Euros, I've decided that I like leeks and I like daffodils. I quite like Welsh cakes. So Lord, I am Welsh. So we're just praying your blessing on that team that is your team. They'll get all the way to the final and win the Euros. Amen! We are some fun in church there, right? So we're going to pray that Wales will win the Euros. If you're not Welsh, I strongly suggest you become Welsh. Quick question. Have you ever been arrested? Not a public confession time, but have you ever been arrested? Have you ever been put in prison? Now, I have been arrested, but kind of. You're looking at me like you're judging me a little bit now. It's like, yes, I am a Christian, yes, I am a pastor of the church, and yes, I have been in handcuffs. But I was on a mission, okay? I was on a mission trip to France, and I was coming back from France, and was at the airport. And anyone who knows airports, you get like the security bit where you've got to show your passport, and then you get through there, and you can eventually get on the plane. Well, I'd done that, and I was waiting for my plane to board the plane to come back from France, and they cancelled the flight. So instantly, you're kind of there without your baggage or anything, you don't know what to do, and they're French, so they weren't particularly embracing speaking English to me. So I just wandered back out of the airport and had to collect my bags. And as I was collecting my bags, the person there said, "The flight's back on, get through as quickly as you can, and you'll get on the flight." So I was like, okay, right, shove the bags back through, and I get his passport. And I've been ringing my boss, I work for a missions organisation, so I've been ringing my boss at the time to say the flight was off. And now, as I was getting to passport, he rang me back, and I answered the phone and said, was telling him that the flight was back on, at the same time as passing my passport across. Now, that's not a wise idea. You may have noticed the signs up at the passport thing saying, do not answer your mobile phone. You know, you've got to be really careful with security and stuff. So I'm on my phone as I'm passing the passport across. And the guy behind the counter, you know, the big glass counters where you pass your passport through for anyone that's familiar with travelling, he took it, looked at it, and just threw it to one side. And he called over to me and went, "You arrogant American." "You arrogant." I'm like, "I've got a British," I wasn't going to answer anything. He's like, "I've got a British passport, but you call me out, I'm an arrogant American, that's fine." And then within a couple of seconds, there are these guys walking towards me, and they take my hands and put them behind my back and put handcuffs on me and take me off to a little room. Now, I was sweating buckets. I was waiting for rubber gloves and all sorts, you know? You just don't have a clue what's going to happen. So I'm in this little room on my own, handcuffs behind my back, being called an arrogant American. I've got no passport. I'm stranded in Charleville Airport. And so it felt like an eternity, but it was probably about 3 minutes. These guys then came in and started shouting at me. Like you wouldn't believe, in French, didn't understand a word they were saying. All I could understand was, "You arrogant American." They kept saying this, "You arrogant American." So I was like, I just sat quietly, petrified. Eventually, they threw my passport back at me and said, "Now get on your way." But I really, really was scared. So I haven't actually been in prison, but I have been in handcuffs. And for me, that was my own stupid fault. I really shouldn't have been answering my phone at the passport place when you get checked. But here, Paul and Silas have been arrested. They've been arrested, and in Acts 16, we find that they've been banged up in prison, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault that they're there. You see, Paul is this guy who was radically saved by Jesus. He was formerly known as Saul, and he was famous for going around throwing Christians in prison. He did not like Christians at all. He would go to towns and cities, grab the Christians, haul them out, and throw them into prison. That's what Saul was like. But Saul is on this road to Damascus, and he's going to Damascus to take some Christians out of the local churches and throw them in prison in Jerusalem. And on the way there, he has this encounter with Jesus that completely transforms his life, turns his life around 180 degrees. The direction he was going is now that way, and he is now going this way, having encountered Jesus. And so, condensing a number of chapters down, he starts going on some mission trips. He starts going off from where he is based, and he goes out to Cyprus and sees amazing things happen, and they go to Antioch, up into what's modern-day Turkey, and are traveling around there. They have some crazy things happen to them. They get stoned, and I'm not talking recreationally, they get rocks chucked at them. So they're trying to tell people about Jesus, and people start throwing stones at them. So they head back to Jerusalem, and they have this meeting in Jerusalem called the Jerusalem Council. Thank God for what they decided at the Jerusalem Council, otherwise evangelism would be a very different thing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then read Acts 15, but it's about circumcision. So we're really pleased they came to the conclusion they did about what it means to be a Christian. And then they decide, Paul decides, I'm going to go on another mission trip. And I'm going to go with this mate of mine called Silas. So they head out via land up through northern Turkey and start spreading and telling people about Jesus. And they get to the capital of this place called Macedonia. Now, it's not the country of Macedonia that we would know of, but it's the province of Macedonia. And they get to this city, Philippi, and they're walking, they're strolling along the river, like you would here in Stratford, just strolling along the river. And Paul and Silas meet this woman called Lydia. Now, Lydia is a savvy businesswoman. She knows how to do business, because she has been trading in dyed cloth. Now, Philippi was famous for its brilliant and permanently dyed cloth, because the water there would cause this vibrant colour to come out in the cloth. So she's a savvy businesswoman, she knows what she's doing, and Paul and Silas meet her, and long story short, she becomes a Christian. Her whole family become Christians. And Paul and Silas, this mission trip is going pretty well, isn't it? So they get to this city, and her whole family become Christians, and happy days, everything's going really well. And then one day they're going to church, over a period of days they're going to church, and they meet this girl. They meet this girl who is a slave girl, and she's a slave in more ways than one. Acts 16:16 says, a slave girl who had the spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. You see, this girl was a fortune teller and was involved in the occult, and was her slave owners would make money off her fortune telling. And every day that Paul and Silas were passing by this girl, she would shout out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And Paul and Silas, I love the Bible because it's so understated, but it says, Paul got greatly annoyed. I think that means Paul was spitting feathers. Paul didn't like this. Now, I'm guessing, but it's probably because on their last mission trip, they just got rocks thrown at them. And they're having a pretty good journey right now with Lydia getting saved. So they're thinking, let's just do this one on the down, on the low key. Let's just share Jesus with those that we come in contact with. And there's this girl declaring who they are. And this girl is annoying Paul so much. So in verse 18, we see that Paul just commands the evil spirit to come out of that girl. And she's set free. She's completely set free. She's completely set free. Completely set free. And that really annoys the slave owners. It annoys them because they were making money off her. So suddenly my income stream is gone. And now the way I was getting money is stopped. So what do? They grab Paul and Silas, they take them to the police station. Paul and Silas are put before court on some trumped up charges, and they're thrown in prison. They're thrown into prison. Verse 24, it says actually that they were thrown into the inner prison. They weren't just in prison, they were in the dungeon of the prison. They were in the darkest place of the darkest prison. And it says at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So Paul and Silas have been chained up in the darkest part of the prison at the dead of night, at their lowest point on the journey, the middle of the night, in the middle of the prison. It doesn't get much worse. And what do Paul and Silas choose to do? Pray and sing hymns to God. Can I just say, you may be here this morning and your life is not going as you hoped it would. Your life is not everything that you were hoping it would and could be. Circumstances, what you've done, what has been done to you, it just doesn't seem fair. If only that hadn't happened, my life would have turned out completely differently. And everything would be okay. Maybe it was your fault, maybe it wasn't your fault. See, Paul and Silas remind us that we have a choice in worship. Not about whether we're going to worship or not, but about what we are going to worship. They've been stripped and beaten, thrown into prison. If that was me, I would probably be screaming, "It's not my fault! It's not my fault I'm in here! So slave owners, they chucked me in here." And I'd have got quite angry probably, trying to justify my innocence. It's just not fair. Maybe that hadn't happened. See, it can be easy to worship when everything's going well. It can be easy to worship God when everything's going well. When the sun is out, the sky is blue, and there's not a cloud to spoil the view. But what happens when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death? That's where the choice is. That's where the choice of what you're going to worship. See, remember, worship is about where you place your value and your worth. That thing that you value or worth is where you're going to place your worship. It's what you're going to lift high in your life. So Paul and Silas here have a choice as to whether to worship their circumstances or to whether to worship Jesus. Are we going to worship or are we going to worry? In those moments when you feel like you're in chains, imprisoned, when life is throwing every possible storm your way, do you choose to value and place your worth in Jesus or your circumstances? See, so many of us have this choice on a daily basis. When something doesn't go our way, life is bad, therefore God is bad, therefore I am sad. Or, life is good, therefore I am happy, because God is good. Do you notice? Let's go back to that fan of the rugby team. He goes and starts watching the Wasps rugby play. And they start winning. Happy days, my team are winning. I'm really pleased about that. What happens when they start losing? Don't feel so good anymore. Don't feel so good. It's because your identity is wrapped up in that which you give value and worth to. Who you are is wrapped up in where you place your value and your worth. I wonder if that's why when the England football team lose a football match, domestic violence goes up by 30%. Imagine if the shifting circumstances of your life or that bad thing that was done to you years ago is where you place all your energy and all your attention. Essentially, you're giving value and worth to that thing that is shifting, that circumstances that makes no sense. And that will define who you are. Understand this, church. When you choose not to worship Jesus, you do not worship nothing. You worship anything. Anything. Whether that's a sports team, your appearance, in that thing that happened to you years ago, that thing that broke your heart, that person that hurt you. So we have a choice about what we worship. But we also have a choice about when we worship. See, Paul and Silas make a choice about when they're going to worship. They make a choice, I'm not going to worship what's happening to me. I'm not going to worship myself because I'm going to lift Jesus. No, it makes no sense. The when it makes no sense, I'm still going to worship. Church, when circumstances are against you, when you don't know what to do next, worship now. When nothing makes sense, make a decision to worship right now. Paul and Silas aren't waiting for the confusing things to make sense. They're going to choose to worship in the circumstances they find themselves. Sometimes it can look a lot like the God who said, I'm never going to leave or forsake you. It can look like he's left and forsaken you, can't it? Stuff happens in your life. Things are thrown your way and you're like, I'm not sure about that God. I think he's everything he says he is. I think that's why the Bible talks about us lifting hands in worship. You might have noticed this morning, if you're new to church, there are some people who may be lifting their hands in worship. Something that talks about in the Bible, lifting your hands in worship. And I think for me, that is, it's not about a traditional or a charismatic thing. It's not about what kind of church you go to. It's a choice to tell your body, I'm not going to allow my circumstances to determine how I worship. Yes. I'm going to lift my hands in. See, I remember the first time I saw some people raising their hands in worship, and you put your hands in your pockets, and you're kind of doing the little finger lift. You know, just kind of, thank you, Jesus. Really good of you. You're a really good guy, aren't you? But then you go for the cool guy. This is just a journey of those of us that have been in church for a while. You go for the cool guy hand lift, as if you don't want anyone to notice, so you're really quick to look at, hi, morning, you okay? Oh, it's good to see you. But now, I have hands in the air. And when it's really rough, my hands are even higher. Because I'm declaring to myself, do you know what? No matter the circumstances, when, now, I'm going to choose to worship. When we lift our hands in worship, we're telling our body we're not going to worship how we feel. I don't want to sit and sulk today, even though that's what I really want to do. I'm going to raise my hands in worship. I remember a time when I would be embarrassed about how people watch me worship. You know what? I'm embarrassed now. Because I've been through so much of my life that actually I know He's more faithful than the circumstances I find myself. When my circumstances make no sense, He makes perfect sense. When my circumstances are shifting and everything is crumbling, He is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will never change. So I'm willing to raise my hands in worship to Him because of who He is. But guys, this isn't about raising hands in this place. Do you know those moments in your life when you can have a raised hands moment in worship? When things aren't making sense. We can raise our hands in the workplace when the job we've got is not all we hoped it would be. We choose an attitude of worship to raise our hands and say to your emotions, say to your will, say to your mind, I must worship. I thank you, God, for this job. I thank you that I get to be around these people every day. Help me to show you their love. Maybe each week you go to the hospital and you see the same nurse that gives you that medication. God, I thank you that I get to be around that nurse every week. Help me to show you her love. See, worship is more than a song. It's a life committed to bring value and worth to Jesus. That's why Paul and Silas were able to sing hymns and pray when they found themselves chained up in prison. If they didn't let the circumstances define who they were. See, I don't think they were particularly enjoying the circumstances they found themselves in. I don't think that was a perfect setting for singing some songs, for worshipping. But they chose in that moment. There's no piano, no guitar, no like soft music moment. It's a nice little worship service. They're chained up in prison. But look what happens. Verse 25. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. See, when we choose to worship, there are going to be moments when those around us will start to listen to the song you're singing. The prisoners started to listen to them. Just once you realize you can worship God wherever, those around you will start to choose. They will start to listen to the song you're singing. How can you be so at peace when you're going through that? It doesn't make any sense. I went through that exact same thing last year, and I'm still not over it right now. And you say, well, I'm not over it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. But I know a God who loves me no matter what. And no matter what I do, He still loves me. And no matter what I don't do, He still loves me. And that means I'm going to worship Him. Wow, what a song of worship that is. No instruments, no melodies, no harmonies, but a loud song of worship that declares just who God is. Then it says in verse 26, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When you make a choice to worship, suddenly the walls that imprison you, the circumstances that seem to have you chained up, they lose their stronghold over you. They no longer hold you captive. You may have been imprisoned by a past failure or a situation. Maybe you counted yourself out because of it. You've written yourself off. Maybe you give more of your worship to anxiety and fear and worry than you do to Jesus Christ. But when you choose to worship the very thing that is robbing you of life, when you choose to worship Jesus, the very thing that is robbing you of life, that you've given so much worth to, can I tell you? Jesus is greater, Jesus is stronger, Jesus is bigger than all of those things. And you can choose to worship Him in the circumstances that have you gripped no longer have your grips, because he's better. Says everyone's bonds were fastened. Do you know that doesn't mean that the problem simply went away? Paul and Silas didn't use this as their great escape plan. I know what we're going to do, right? Stuff's really tough at the moment, so we're going to go and sing some hymns to Jesus. Then the bonds are going to be unfastened, and we can run away, and we're going to be set free. So many people do this, don't they? I'm going through a really rough patch. You know, I'm going to go to church, but then when everything starts going well again, there's no bother. That worked out well for me. Feel much better. Feel really happy. Set free. Fantastic. But Paul and Silas don't use this moment that the chains get broken off amazingly. They don't use that moment to escape. The prison guard thinks they may have gone, but they call to him and say, "We're still here." See, the prison guard pulled out his sword, because in Roman law, the prison guard would have to have been punished for the punishment that the escaped prisoners were meant to be punished for. Does that make sense? So those that were in prison, the punishment they were going to get, now they've escaped, the prison guard would have to have that punishment in their place. So that clearly there were some people in there that had done some really bad stuff, and instead of being publicly humiliated, he takes his sword, he's going about to kill himself. And Paul was like, saying, no, you don't need to do that. We're still here. We haven't taken this as our moment to escape. Because we know that our circumstances are not what we're looking at. God's using our circumstances for something much greater. See, this story that made me laugh when I read it this week. There were some guys in prison in America, right? And they're in this brand new prison, and the walls have all been like made with secure cement. The cement has been secured. The doors are all secure, but the cement on the floor hadn't been reinforced. And these guys in the prison have figured this out. So they decided over a period of months, maybe even years, to start digging a tunnel down out of their cell, underneath the prison, beyond the boundary wall, and to escape. That was the plan. So over a period of months, they start doing this. And they've been digging underneath the prison when their tunnel got discovered. Their tunnel was discovered. They were found to be trying to escape from prison. And this is what the prison guard said. He said, if only the men had realized that their tunnel had gone 60 foot past that exterior wall, for 6 months they've been digging out when all they needed to do was dig up. See, these men were so focused on trying to escape, they didn't even think about looking up. I think Paul and Silas were so busy looking up, they didn't even think about trying to escape. Church, we can allow our circumstances to dictate our worship when we start to fret and worry, bring anxiety upon us, all because of our circumstances. Or, instead of letting our outlook determine, we can allow our uplook to determine our outlook. We can start to say, I'm going to look up to him who is greater, to him who is stronger. When circumstances make no sense, I'm going to choose to worship Jesus and allow my uplook to determine my outlook. Church, don't allow circumstances to determine what you worship. Don't allow circumstances to determine when you worship. Don't allow circumstances to determine where you worship. You might be going through the toughest season of your life, just like Paul and Silas. But God's getting ready to do one of the greatest miracles. Because so often we see our circumstances as either a blessing or a curse from God, instead of an opportunity. And when we allow our uplook to determine our outlook, suddenly circumstances start to shift. Look what happens to Paul and Silas. I'm landing the plane right here. It says, for Paul and Silas, in verse 29 and 30, the jailer called for lights and rushed in. He was panicking that they were going to escape. But Paul and Silas say, no, we're still here. He doesn't believe it. So the jailer runs in. The lights are flicked on. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Because Paul and Silas realized that they weren't going to let their circumstances determine who they were. They were going to choose to worship in the midst of those circumstances. And that jailer gave his life to Jesus. And not only that jailer, but the whole family. The jailer's whole family. See, when we choose to worship Jesus, it changes everything. Circumstances change when you choose to allow your uplook to determine your outlook. Guys, I just wonder if we could just all close our eyes. If we can just keep this quiet. This is your moment, this is. She has nothing to do with anybody else. Has nothing to do with the person sat next to you. Whatever relationship they may have with you. This is between you and God. And you have a choice right now, this moment, what to worship. Now, we don't embarrass anybody in this church. It's not what we're about at all. But we give people opportunity. And in this moment, I would just ask for the privacy of everybody else in the room. If you could just respect everybody else in the room and just close your eyes. Just wait for everybody's eyes to be closed. This isn't so you can pray. If you don't believe in Jesus, then come to me. I know where I'm going. This isn't for you to pray. This is for you to respect those others in the room. What are you worshipping? Circumstances, worry, anxiety, how you look. So I'll give you an opportunity right now. You may never have said yes to Jesus. So do something really simple. If you want to take this opportunity to say, you know what? What I'm going to worship is not my circumstances or my worry or that past failure or what that person did to me. I'm not going to worship that anymore. That's not going to have a stronghold over my life. I'm going to choose to worship Jesus, who is greater, stronger, bigger than all of that. And I'm just going to ask you to do something really simple and it's not embarrassing. It's just as every eye is closed, that's why I ask everybody to close their eyes. I'm just going to count to three. And with no one looking around, all you need to do is put your hand up right in the air and put it straight back down again. Just believe that if something's happening on the inside, then by raising your hand, putting it back down, it just seems to solidify what's going on in your heart. So as every eye is closed, I'm just going to ask if this is a moment when you need to say, do you know what, I'm going to take this moment right now. And as I count to three, just raise your hand and put it straight back down. One, God loves you. Two, never be the same again. Three, just raise your hand. Amen. In there. You put your hands straight back down. Do you know, for those that have made that choice, if it's for the first time this morning, can I tell you, everything you've ever done, everything you're doing right now, anything you will do in the future that is wrong, He's forgiven it. He's forgiven it. And He says you are set free. So guys, I just want to pray. And if you raise your hand and it's for the first time, or if you're making a recommitment to Him and saying, you know what, I need to come back to you, God, I realise that I've been worshipping something else, then I just want you to pray this in your heart as I pray. Father God, I thank you so much for what you've done, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth, who lived a perfect life, who never sinned. He didn't know what it was to sin. He knew what it was to be tempted, but not to be sinned. And He died a death that I deserve. He died a sinner's death. And in that moment, everything that I have ever done, am doing, or will ever do was placed on Him. And now in this moment, as I've accepted you and chose to worship you and not those things around me, Lord, in this moment, I thank you that I'm forgiven, that my sins are dealt with, that, Lord, I'm made right with you. Lord, I pray right now you just flood the people that raise their hand, flood them with your love. Lord, that nothing else can give. No other thing can offer the love that you can bring. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for each person in this room. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, if that was a first time decision for you, then I'd love to speak with you at the end. Not to embarrass you, just we've got a little gift we'd love to give you as a church. And if you want to connect with us as a church, then we've got a connect point over there. You can just fill out one of those connect forms, and we'd love to connect with you as a church. But we're gonna finish our service a little bit earlier this morning. I know Louise and the family have got some stuff happening at their house. We want to give them an opportunity to have maybe some of the cake that we've got here, but also get back in plenty of time for that celebration. But we'd love to pray with you as a church. Whether you believe in prayer or not, do you know what? Prayer works. Whether you believe in it or not, it works. So we'd love to be able to pray with you. If there's something in your life, maybe some bonds that have you bound, just like in that story we read, that when they started to worship Jesus, those bounds were set free of them. I'd love to pray with you, whether it's just something, maybe you've got a pain in your body, maybe a depression, or emotionally something dropped you. I'd love to be able to pray with you. So at the end of the service, with those that maybe I'm speaking with that have raised their hand this morning, then if you want some prayer, please just come and see. Anybody that's got one of these badges on, we'd love to pray with you as well. But we're just going to stand and we're going to sing a final song and then we'll finish our service. Is that okay?
Yep.
Guys, I hope you had a great morning. It's been brilliant to have you with us.